Welcome to Parshas Hashavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ekev. Parshas Ekev is an action-packed Parsha with so many different things like the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, benching the seven fruits, lots of inspirational different things that Moshe Rabbeinu communicates to Bnei Yisrael, the second paragraph of Shema, and so on and so forth. So I just want to share with you a few different short insights. The first one is to do with the seven minim, the seven fruit for which Eretz Yisrael is praised. So we know we have chito u'sa'ira, we have wheat and barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, which is a zeis shemen, it's written as olive oil in the Torah, and dvash and honey. And there's so many beautiful things written about the seven special kinds of fruit. And I'm just going to share with you one or two things. The Meshech Chochma says the following. He says, why do we find the word Eretz in this pasuk twice? So it says Eretz, it's a land of wheat, barley, grape, fig, and pomegranate. Then it says again, Eretz, it's a land of olive oil, olives, and honey. Why do we have the second Eretz? And in fact, we know that the second Eretz creates all kinds of halachic laws and explanations in terms of if someone eats fruit from the more than one fruit from the seven kinds, which one takes precedence in terms of the bracha. So the halacha is that if it's the closest to the word Eretz takes precedence. So for example, if someone was eating olives and grapes, and he wanted both equally, he would make the bracha on the olive rather than the grape. Why? Because the grape is third from the first Eretz. The olive is first after the next Eretz. But he says, okay, so that's true up the halacha, but philosophically, why does it say Eretz twice? This is a beautiful explanation. He says that apparently in Mitzrayim, two things that the Jews did not have, they were not able to eat, is olive and olive oil and honey. It didn't happen in Mitzrayim. And this is apparent from we find that when Yosef sent his children back to when Yaakov sent his children back to Yosef when he was a viceroy in Egypt, he sent him atvash, he sent him some honey. Why did he send him some honey? Because it wasn't there in Mitzrayim. And in fact, we find that when the Jewish people in Bamidbar complained to Moshe Rabbeinu about being taken out of Mitzrayim, it says, "V'lomo ha'eli sunum Mitzrayim." They said, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to this bad place, the desert? It's not a place where you can plant things. You can't eat produce. You can't eat figs. You can't eat grapes. You can't eat pomegranates. And they didn't say you can't eat olives and honey, because they never had olives and honey in Mitzrayim, whether the other stuff they did have. Here's another fascinating thing from the Chasam Sofer about the seven kinds. In the Gemara, in Brachos and in Sanhedrin, we find a machlokes tanoim, a machlokes between the great students of the Gemara and the Mishnah, about the tree that Adam Arishon ate in Gan Eden, that he wasn't supposed to eat. Eize ilon hoyo, which fruit was it? According to Rav Meir, it was a grape. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was wheat. According to Rabbi Nechemya, it was a fig. And according to Rav Abba de Manako, it was actually an esrog. It wasn't part of the seven kinds, but it was an esrog. The Chasam Sofer says, because what's the pshat? We know that, of course, Eilu ve'eilu divrei lekim chayim, when machlokes in Gemara, everyone is right. So is it just everyone is right spiritually, but in fact, there was only one, or how does it all work? So the Chasam Sofer says something amazing. He says that actually, it was all four together. In other words, it was a fruit that had the taste of both a fig, wheat, an esrog, and wine. A fig, wheat, estrog, and wine. An amazing thing. The Chasam Sofer continues and he says like this. He said, we know that with the Eitz Hadas, the fruit which Adam Arishon ate from, we know that if he would waited till Shabbos, he would be able to eat that fruit, and also he would be able to partake of the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life, which would have meant that he would live forever. And he says an amazing remez, an amazing hint about this. Because he says, now that he's established that tree was in fact a fig, a wheat, and an estrog, and wine, and it's all true, it was incorporated of all those tastes, he says, if you take the Rosh Tevis, the first letter of each of the words, te'ena, fig, chita, wheat, yayin, wine, hodor, which is the Estrog, it's called a pre-Eitz Hadar, a beautiful fruit. You have the word Tichye, to live, which is the Eitz HaChaim. And the gematria of these four, including if you count the words themselves, the Koelo, is Shabbosing. In other words, the four fruit tell us that if you wait till Shabbos, you can have this, and you can also eat from the tree of life, and Tichye, and you will live. An amazing remez, a very out of the ordinary explanation, but from the Chassam Sofer nonetheless. Okay, another concept in this Torah, in this week's parasha, is that the Torah warns us that as we're going into the land of Eretz Yisrael, and we are going to be able to eat from the land and become satisfied, and we're going to be able to build houses and do all sorts of things, the Torah warns us, Hishomer lecha, be very careful, pen tishkach es Hashem aleikecha, not to forget Hashem. The Torah says that you might have you might have houses and animals and have affluence and wealth, v'rom levavecha, and your heart will become high, haughty, and you'll forget Hashem, and you might say, koichi v'oitzem yodi, my own power, my own strength did this. In other words, I did it all myself without realizing the gratitude that actually all comes from Hashem and you're just a vehicle. So it starts off, this warning to the Bnei Yisrael not to become arrogant and not to forget Hashem. It starts off with the words, Hishomer Lecha. Now normally we know that Hishomer Lecha in the Torah expresses a mitzvah loisaseh. When Hashem tells us to guard something and be warned about something, it normally means not to transgress a negative commandment. Now the Rambam actually, in this particular instance where it says Hishomer Lecha, the Rambam does not mention it as one of the 613 mitzvahs or the 365 negative commandments. But the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol L'Smag does, and he says even though the Rambam doesn't, but that's such a foundation, he believes that it is part of the 613 mitzvahs. So the question, of course, is why does the Rambam, it seems like a very important lesson, why does the Rambam not count this as one of the 613 mitzvahs? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains a very important thing. He says, we know that with all averis, with all transgressions, even if someone transgresses an avera, even someone does something really wrong, we know that Hashem is still with them. As it says in the Pasuk and as brought down in the Gemara, Hashoichen itom betoich tum oisom. Hashem dwells with the Jewish people even if they are impure. However, we know there's one exception. The one exception is what the Gemara in Soita tells us, that anyone who has gasus saruach, anyone who is arrogant, Hashem says, Ein ani v'hu yecholim lodur. I cannot coexist with that person. In other words, the stringency of gaiva, the stringency of arrogance is more than any other transgression. That with any transgression, a person can remain connected with Hashem, but with extreme arrogance, a person cannot maintain a connection with Hashem. That's the severity of arrogance. And therefore, we could say that's why the Rambam did not count this warning as one of the mitzvahs, because he says that this is actually a much greater, it's included. He believes that arrogance is included in a much more severe avera. It's not just a detail that Hashem is warning us not to have arrogance, not to forget Hashem for all the good things because we became arrogant when we had wealth, but it's more about not having gaiva, which the Rambam maintains, according to this explanation, that arrogance, gaiva, is part of avodah zarah. It's actually part of disconnecting ourselves from Hashem. Just like avodah zarah really is, of course, an avera that really disconnects us from Hashem because we rebel against Hashem and belief in Hashem and faith in God. So to gaiva, it's arrogance. That's how bad arrogance is, because it disconnects us from Hashem, and therefore it's part of the same avera as avodah zarah, and the Rambam is not counted as a separate detail as one of the 365 negative commandments. One final idea in the Torah is later on in Parshas Ekev, where the Torah is talking about the praises of Hashem, and it says, Oise mishpat yosim ve'almona, Hashem does justice for the orphan, for the widow. And then it says, Ve'oyhev ger, Hashem loves the convert. Which of course we know is true, and that's why we have to be so careful about how we treat a convert and so on, as explained elsewhere in the Torah. But it says, Ve'oyhev ger, Hashem loves the convert, loseis loy lechem ve'simlo, to give him bread and garments. So what's the idea? Why specifically bread and garments? What does that mean? A deeper explanation in this is found to explain it in the following way. The ger actually refers to every yid, because we know the neshama, ger means a stranger, ger means a foreigner. Every neshama is a foreigner in this world. The neshama doesn't feel comfortable in this world. The neshama has to come from the world on high. the neshama is, so to speak, exiled from the heavens above to the body, to the physical lowly body that we have. And he's trapped there. And the neshama feels far from Hashem, and the neshama wants to connect to Hashem. So the pasuk says, "V'oyehev ger." Hashem loves the foreign. Hashem loves the neshama, and He gave the neshama a way to connect with Hashem in this world, which is lechem v'simla, bread and garments. What is bread and garments? Refers to Torah and mitzvahs. We know that often in Chazal and in many Sfarim, the Torah is compared to lechem, to food, because when we learn the Torah, we internalize Hashem's words, we internalize Hashem's wisdom. We actually understand it and grasp it and becomes, like it's called, mozoin lenefesh, is the food for the soul. Mitzvahs are called encompassing garments. Mitzvahs we do outside of us. We sit in the sukkah, it envelops us. We put on tzitzis, we put on tefillin. It surrounds us. It's called in Kabbalah makifim, encompassing things. So lechem v'simla, bread and garments, is actually Torah and mitzvahs. And that's the deep explanation in this pasuk, v'oyhev ger. Hashem loves the foreigner, He loves the neshama, and that's why He gives the neshama lechem v'simla, bread and garments, Torah and mitzvahs, to connect with Hashem in this world. These are a few insights in Parashas Ekev. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos.